Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, April 28th, 2020. Truth can't be silenced. The Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Apparently, truth is being silenced everywhere. I'm telling you. Have you seen this? Diamond and Silk. Friends of the program, they've been on our show before, and Diamond and Silk have been contributing to Fox News. Did you see what just happened? Eric the Tech, did you know Diamond and Silk? Did you?
Yeah.
Did you see what happened to them?
I actually did not.
Let me tell you. You see, Diamond and Silk have lost their Fox News gig, and I quote, after pushing coronavirus conspiracies. Okay. What does that mean? All right. And why, and who cares? That's the big thing, is who cares? Who cares, you know, for example, if we lose our platform or whatever? I mean, who cares? This is real life. I mean, we deal in real life, right? Or at least that's what we should be doing, is dealing in real life. But wait a second. Part of real life is the media, whether it's the print media, the television media, or the alternative or new media, the real media, whatever it might be. It's all part of the living the life experience equation, in my view. But see, Diamond and Silk and Lynette Hardaway and Rochelle Richardson, they're Diamond and Silk. Well, it's alleged, and not confirmed, but alleged, that Fox News has reportedly cut ties with Diamond and Silk for spreading these conspiracy theories. Now, Diamond and Silk regularly appeared on Fox News. They've been contributors to the network, and they've been on Fox Nation, and they vigorously defended President Trump. And you've seen Diamond and Silk at President Trump rallies, and I'm not sure if you've seen, our pictures. I met them in Washington, D.C. Anyway, they're a couple of outspoken celebrities, I suppose. I don't know how else to describe them. But if you notice that no new episodes have been added since the beginning, the first week of April, have you noticed that? No? No, let me tell you, they haven't. And that's interesting, because never was a week missed on Fox News since December of 2018. The duo last appeared on Fox News when? March 7th. On Fox News on March 6th and the Fox Business Network on March 7th. But no new episodes have been added subsequent to April 7th, just to be clear. It's, you know, one of those things. Okay, so what was the transgression, or were the transgression? And I'm getting to a point. Now, I ask that you watch this hour. I've got a good show for you lined up. You just kind of stick with me for this hour, because I'm going to wrap this all up at the end. Tie everything together, I think. I hope. I think I got it. Maybe. Maybe. I thought I had it together, and then I was watching, Coach Dave Live, The Huddle, this morning. Oh, my goodness. CoachDaveLive.com. 7 o'clock every morning. If you get a chance, tune in. What else are you doing at 7 in the morning? Maybe drinking a cup of our coffee? I don't know. But anyway. And then I rethink things. But anyway, back to Diamond and Silk. What did they do? Well, according to news reports out there, they've used their platform to spread misinformation about the coronavirus, claiming the number of coronavirus deaths in the United States has been inflated to damage President Trump. Okay. Is that possible? Oh, yeah, I think it is. When you, and this got me thinking. Now, this whole process got me thinking. What are we dealing with here? And as I said yesterday, I really see only three possibilities. The lie. The whoops, man, we overstated this and we had the best of intentions. It's number two, and number three is there's something else going on entirely. And that encompasses a whole lot of stuff. But again, not the cuckoo stuff, all right? As I explained yesterday during the first segment. But see, I do believe in looking at this, you've got the agenda of the Democratic governors, the globalist operatives. And by globalist operatives, I'm talking about Bill Gates and everyone in his orbit. I'm talking about Fauci and everyone in his orbit. Burks, everyone in her orbit. The World Health Organization, all of them. The and then, of course, as you've, if you've been watching this program, of course, Dr. Richard Proctor talking about the various organizations such as the CFR and other organizations, Council on Foreign Relations, and the membership and the operatives within. That constitutes, obviously, the swamp. And we elected Donald Trump to drain the swamp. And I see comments on our YouTube channel. I don't respond to most of them. I read all of the emails I get, and I read all of the comments. But where, you know, Donald Trump is absolutely complicit in this. He's one of them. He's actually a deep state globalist plant. Well, if that's the case, why has there been such acrimony? Why has there been such an intense, visceral hatred against Donald Trump? Is that all a play? Is that all play acting? Is that all a show? Is that just stagecraft? Is that what that is? I don't think so. What about the attempts to remove him from office? Is that just to make things look good? No. The fact is, the swamp is murkier, muddier, bigger, deeper, wider than anything that it's had years, decades, and even more than a century to really entrench, in my view, this country. And not just this country, but the world. You look at people like Diamond and Silk expressing their opinions and saying, you know what? I wonder if this, and this is part of a Twitter comment, I wonder if this is a little deep state action going on behind the scenes. Okay. Excuse me. I'm not sure if that was a quote from one other broadcaster or a Twitter message, but nonetheless, either way. The day after their last Fox Nation episode was posted, Twitter removed one of their tweets for violating its rules against coronavirus misinformation. Oh, don't you ever question the narrative. Now, you see, as an investigator and working investigations and conducting investigations, when I get somebody, when I have somebody, whether it's a subject of an investigation or whether it is a witness, and that witness encompasses a lot, okay, that just are overbearing in their insistence on certain things, I look at them and I think, what's really going on here? What is really the basis? You know, as opposed to saying, okay, oh, here, whatever you need. I mean, I'm here to help you. I want to clear this up too, you know? Oh, but no. See, if you make a statement about the coronavirus and the social media platforms deem it as misinformation, oh, you are in so much trouble. And of course, don't you dare question any narratives, whether it's the coronavirus or even go back to 9/11. Look, we've been dealing with this since at least in modern times, since the Kennedy assassination, haven't we? And that, of course, is, you know, the conspiracy theory that was the phrase that was created by our own intelligence agencies here within the United States to discredit anyone questioning the official narrative. Hey, Oswald was the lone assassin. Just ask J. Edgar Hoover or Lyndon Baines Johnson. And make sure you don't ask, of course, people like, oh, I don't know, Dorothy Kilgallen. Yeah, Mark Shaw, I was watching some of his videos about Dorothy Kilgallen, the reporter. You remember her from What's My Line, right? The reason I bring this up, this has been with us for well over 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 100 years. And you know, their playbook is the same. And this is why I have admiration for certain people who really challenge the narrative by asking questions, by bringing people on. And I'm going to play some video here of from InfoWars. You know, regardless of what you may think of InfoWars or Alex Jones, I defend him. Okay. And I back him. You know why? Because he's got the guts to say and bring people on, and their platform brings people on. You know, man, you talk about, you know, taking fire. My goodness. Look at what they've been through. Look at what he's been through. Anyway. But see, that's all of us. All of us. And there's a lot of truth to the statement. Remember the meme with Donald Trump sitting down and kind of hunched forward and, in reality, they're not after me. They're after you. Okay? That's what this is all about. They're after all of us. Steve Quayle talking about this. Look, they want to kill us all. They look at us as useless eaters. I mean, useless to them. Their God is not the God of the Bible. Their God is the God of human sacrifice. Their God is Moloch or whatever. And you know, you may say, well, that's just you can't be serious about that. Look, I'm going to tell you, I am serious. And you know why? Because just look at what they do. And when you look at what they do, it can tell you what they believe, because belief is the driver of action. And I've said that so many times before. Anyway, I don't want to sound like I'm talking down. I just want to do this for emphasis. But Diamond and Silk, you know, they ask questions. Hey, could this very well be a little deep state action? At least the response, okay, the response to make President Trump look bad. Well, and if so, is what's Fox News doing banning Diamond and Silk? I'm asking. I know Peter Barryczauka thinks a lot of Fox News, but and frankly, you know, there's no other news channel outside of One American News that in the mainstream, there's no other news channel except One American News that we look at. Okay, we watch, for example, MSNBC to see what kind of bunk they're pushing, anti-Donald Trump stuff they're pushing and anti-freedom stuff they're pushing, but you do that for surveillance purposes, not for informational purposes. But that aside. So what's going on here? What is really going on here? In the end, I believe it's a fight right now between the members of the deep state cabal, members of the globalists, the people with financial and career interests in maintaining the tyrannical approach. It's their agenda. This is what's pushing everything. This is, and you'll notice it's the Democratic states that are acting tyrannical. You'll notice the governors of the Democratic states saying, hey, you know, Illinois, I mean, take one case in Illinois. I mean, how ridiculous is it where an Illinois ruling means family can only legally be in their boat when it's in their garage? How Do I need to really kind of explode about the insanity of that? I don't think so. And I don't think you do either. There was a study done recently. Studies.org. I don't know. I lost my page here. You see, Eric the Tech, this is why I print things out. Hang on just one second here. I want to see where this is because this is interesting. If you happen to have seen this or happen to have seen this, I can talk. Wow, it's not showing up here at all. When people will lose it, this group, this scientific organization website, and I believe it's studies, hang on a second here. Oh, here it is right here. Studyfinds.org. That's studyfinds.org. They came out with this survey. 72% of lockdown Americans say they'll reach breaking point by mid-June. As each individual state now charts its own course for opening and for keeping things closed, making rulings, whatever. Americans all across the United States, we are growing more and more impatient, and rightfully so. When will we be able to get back to normal? And it's interesting, too. I don't know how many people caught this early this morning, Fox and Friends. I'm trying to remember. I think it was, let me see if it's on here. I believe it was one of the hosts' daughter asked Amanda, Dr. Birx, if a fall wedding, let me see because I actually cut and pasted this. I tried to isolate this because I thought this was an interesting, and it has something to do with again, the bigger picture and what's taking place right now. Okay, so fall wedding, let's see here. Stick with me. Hold on. All right. If I can't find it in 2 minutes here, or in the next 6 seconds, I'm just going to drop it. Except to say, again, it was Fox and Friends, and somebody had asked, one of the celebrities, the people there asked, the daughter asked this Birx if a fall wedding would be okay. She had canceled a wedding next week and saying, let's reschedule it for the fall. As long as I can be kind of assured that, the guests and we won't have to be wearing masks. And Birx said, no, you're going to be wearing masks in September, in the fall. But back to the article again, and this goes back to what I've been saying. This is to me, this is a social experiment right from the beginning. Where'd it go? Regardless, look, 72% of Americans say they're going to reach their breaking point by mid-June. Is that reality? I think that's very charitable. There were 1,895, and where these numbers come from, 1,895 U.S. citizens over the age of 18 were surveyed earlier this month. Now you have to remember, quarantine of the healthy is a lockdown. It's tyrannical. Period. End of story. But you have to remember too. Day one of a lockdown, there's a mental, you're in one mental place, okay? One mental state. Day two, it grows not by a little, but it doubles, okay? It's kind of like the tornado scale or the earthquake scale where there's exponential, and I hope I'm using that exponential word correctly, increases in the magnitude. So, again, you're looking at something that the mental effect, as well as the economic effect, and especially that which affects the mental effect. Anyway, bottom line is, I would say that mid-June would be perhaps weeks away or a week away, because I don't think it would last that long. But in any way, in this particular survey, 1,895 U.S. citizens over the age of 18 were surveyed earlier this month. 72% said they expect to reach a breaking point by mid-June if stay-at-home orders aren't lifted. In fact, 100% of the respondents said they would snap if this all lasts for longer than 6 months. I bet you if you resurveyed them, that number would be at least halved. The survey was conducted because, now think about this, we're at April 28th, between April 3rd and April 6th, and 16% at that time said they already reached their breaking point. So now keep that in the back of your mind. You know, studies like this are being done by government agencies, all right? So I ask you, what is the real reason here? Is it A, again, is it A, that we're, you know, we're being lied to, and we're, it is what it is, but it's just a lie? Two, it's a big oops. We overestimated, abundance of caution. Sorry about that. We'll back off. I'm not seeing that. Or three, there's something we don't know that's going on. And that covers the whole litany of things. And that, I think, is where we're at. But now, to make sure, and this is important, because where did this all start? Who, when I say where, I'm not talking geographically with respect to the virus. And the virus is real, by the way. And I want to make this very clear. There's very interesting information that has recently come out. 33 strains. Isn't that an interesting number? 33 different strains. But the virus itself is real. 33 different strains. California is having a whole different experience in terms of numbers than New York. So what's true in New York may not be true in California. What's true in California certainly may not be true in New York. And what is happening in one geographical region, we have to recognize that when people are stacked and packed and living in, obviously it makes a difference. Okay. And also we have to realize that 20 to 50% of the fatalities, when you look at this, have occurred in nursing homes, and the most vulnerable are the vulnerable, right? So factor in all of that, but let's take a walk back. This is important, and I don't think this could be played enough. Greg Reese, Bandit.video, Greg Reese, part of the InfoWars team. Greg Reese did an overview of the people surrounding President Trump, from Fauci to Birx to others. I mean, throughout that crowd of people surrounding him. You remember that video? Let's take a look at this again. Why? Because we have to establish who's who. And we just can't throw names out there and say, well, you know, they're a globalist or they're... No, let's take a look. But this is a brief summary, and boy, you could dig layers deep on this, but let's take a brief look at this. Watch this, and let's remind ourselves who we are dealing with. If we have that, let's play that.
You know, having been through other serious issues, particularly the very painful early years of HIV AIDS, when people talk about conspiracy theories. You will always have conspiracy theories when you have very challenging public health crises. They are nothing but distractions. You know, I can assure you, we have so much to do to protect the health and the welfare of the American people that I would just hope we just put those conspiracy stuff and let somebody write a book about it later on, but not now.
Anthony Fauci does not like conspiracy theories. And if the president does not fire several members of his COVID-19 response team, the books written in the future will likely be about the Bill Gates Big Pharma takeover of America. Dr. Fauci is on the leadership council for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Deborah Birx is a board member for the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria, which was founded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Robert Redfield, current director of the CDC, was a founder of the Institute of Human Virology, who has received $31.8 million from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Seema Verna has worked with Sue Desmond-Hellman, chief executive officer of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Alex Azar was president of Eli Lilly's U.S. division. Under his leadership, prices for the company's top-selling insulin drug tripled, which led to a class-action lawsuit. Jerome Adams received a medical scholarship from Eli Lilly. Stephen Hahn is commissioner for the FDA, who partnered with Bill and Melinda Gates in 2017. Stephen Mnuchin was a member of Skull and Bones at Yale University, and he partnered with George Soros to create SFM Capital Management. Brett Giroir was the director of DARPA. And CDC official Dr. Nancy Messonnier is Rod Rosenstein's sister. Many have been concerned that President Trump has been surrounded by deep state operatives for the past 3 years. Well, now he seems to be completely surrounded by Big Pharma and Bill Gates loyalists, all pushing vaccines as the solution and admitting that they might make things worse.
Does the vaccine make you worse? And there are diseases in which you vaccinate someone, they get infected with what you're trying to protect them with, and you actually enhance the infection.
Los Angeles has announced that they're going to pay people to snitch on their neighbors.
You know the old expression about snitches? Well, in this case, snitches get rewards. We want to thank you for turning folks in and making sure we are all safe.
And the public is now being prepared for mandatory certificates of immunity in order to freely leave their homes.
Can you imagine a time where Americans carry certificates of immunity?
You know, that's possible. I mean, it's one of those things that we talk about when we want to make sure that we know who the vulnerable people are and not. This is something that's being discussed. I think it might actually have some merit under certain circumstances.
Welcome to Medical Tyranny 2020. For Infowars.com, this is Greg Reese.
May God be with you all.
Okay. I hope that makes the players, at least in this crisis, which more and more looks like it's a crisis of their own making. I hope this is clear as to who these people are. And let's never forget who they are. Let's never forget who their associates are. When I'm assigned to consult on an investigation or whatever, I look at the individuals. I look at who they're associated with. We go layers deep in this. And we have to do the same thing, I believe, as consumers of information. And that's what we are. That's what this platform is, by the way, it provides information as well vetted as possible so you can decide. So now that we have established the players, what are we dealing with here? In looking at this, there's one more video here I want to sneak in. Again, by Greg Reese, because the title caught my attention and we're being set up for the biggest October surprise in American history. It's just a brief video, a little over 3 minutes, but here's the thing. I believe what we're seeing here, and this is my analysis at the moment. Remember, this is kind of an evolving situation, so my analysis could evolve as events progress, but I think this coronavirus 19, COVID-19 again, the year, or the Communist Chinese Party virus is a means to an end. That's all this is. And this is not about your health or my health. This is about control. And I think the people, the players that you saw just seconds ago on the screen, and identified, if you're listening to this just by audio, who were identified are the individuals who are enacting controls along with the leftist, tyrannical governors and even some managers, you know, county executives and mayors and minor, shall we say, minor leaders or servants of the people more accurately. This is all about control. It has nothing to do with health, with the exception of destroying the healthcare system. Remember, Hillary Clinton back in the early 90s attempted Hillary Care. Remember that? Because you're looking at 20% of America's economy is what? Is healthcare. It's insurance, it's healthcare, it's the equipment, it's, and then of course you have big pharma. So if you're able to deal a fatal blow to the healthcare industry, boy, how great would that be for the people who demand this control and power? How fatal would that be to our republic, to our country, to our economy, and currently to the current president of the United States, President Trump, who, by the way, was able to, at least on paper and in reality as well, get employment numbers up. If you looked at the employment numbers pre-COVID, my goodness. And in all reality, our economy was flowing well. And remember back in December, November, a year before the upcoming election, which is in, 190 days roughly, remember the talk was, well, if the economy goes south, then Donald Trump is vulnerable. Now, the problem is now, and I'm kind of digressing, admittedly, the problem is now, of course, the left, some say the Democrats, but the leftists have really no viable candidate to fight President Trump, right? I mean, at this point, Joe Biden, he's got a sexual scandal that's kind of out there, you know, that's, of course, well, where'd that come from? Oh, yeah, that's out there. Plus, he's showing signs of dementia. That according to many published reports, and you could see it for yourself. So what is the left to do, barring a surprise candidate to replace Joe Biden? Remember, Sanders, they didn't want Sanders. But that's a topic for another day. But this is all about control. So what are we seeing here? I turn back to Greg Rees, and let's look. Let's have a listen to what he's got to say with respect to, are we being set up for an October surprise? Biggest October surprise in American history? I warn you, that title might be a little bit not fitting with the video, but the information in the video is indeed fitting with this topic. So go ahead and play that.
After testing thousands of people in their county for COVID-19, doctors Dan Erickson and Artin Massini, owners of Accelerated Urgent Care in Bakersfield, California, held a press conference to share their data along with official CDC data. Dr. Erickson reported that hospitals in California have become empty as a result of allotting all resources to the COVID-19 pandemic.
The hospitals, their ICUs are empty, essentially, and they're shutting down floors. They're furloughing patients. They're furloughing doctors because we just don't have the volume. So we're busy with paperwork for COVID, and we're all focusing on COVID.
He then went over the COVID-19 numbers for the state of California.
We've seen 1,227 deaths in the state of California. That means you have a 0.03 chance of dying from COVID-19 in the state of California.
And for the state of New York,
19,410 out of 19 million people, which is a 0.1% chance of dying from COVID in the state of New York.
And then compared these numbers to the seasonal flu in 2017.
45 million total cases in 2017 with about 62,000 deaths, or a 0.13 chance of death from flu in the United States. So the lethality of COVID-19 is much less.
He then went on to report what is happening as a result of the shutdown and millions of hardworking people losing their jobs.
Child molestation is increasing at a severe rate. We could go over multiple cases of children who have been molested due to angry, family members who are intoxicated, who are home, who have no paycheck. These things last a lifetime. This isn't about a seasonal flu. These are things that will follow these people and affect them in a negative fashion for their life. And these are for me talking to ERs, talking to my doctors, and talking to people across the country and finding out what they're seeing. Spousal abuse, alcoholism, anxiety, depression, suicide.
One of the most interesting moments of the press conference was when Dr. Erickson went on to explain the immune complex and how our immune system regularly adapts to our environment.
The immune system is built by exposure to antigens, viruses, bacteria. When you're a little child crawling on the ground, putting stuff in your mouth, viruses and bacteria come in, you form an antigen-antibody complex, you form IgG, IgM. This is how your immune system is built. When you take human beings and you say, go into your house, clean all your counters, Lysol them down. You're going to kill 99% of viruses and bacteria. Wear a mask, don't go outside. What does it do to our immune system? Our immune system is used to touching. We share bacteria, staphylococcal, streptococcal bacteria, viruses. We develop an immune response daily to this stuff. When you take that away from me, my immune system drops. As I shelter in place, my immune system drops. You keep me there for months, it drops more. Sheltering in place decreases your immune system. And then as we all come out of shelter in place with a lower immune system and start trading viruses and bacteria, what do you think is going to happen? Disease is going to spike. And then you've got disease spike amongst a hospital system with furloughed doctors and nurses.
Dr. Erickson reported that he has been in contact with leading physicians throughout California, and that they are all in agreement.
And I've been working with some of the leaders, and I've talked to, you know, the head of the CDPH. I've gotten their opinion on this, and a lot of the leaders in Sacramento. And we're all in agreement. But we need to have Governor Newsom in agreement with us to lift this ban, because the data is showing us it's time to lift. So if we don't lift, what is the reason?
For InfoWars.
And there it is in one. Well, four words with a question mark. What is the reason? If we don't lift, what is the reason? I could ask, a little stated differently or asked differently, what is the real reason? What is the actual reason? And I think every one of us needs to be asking that question. I'm not going to tell you what to think. I'm not going to tell you what to ask. I'm not going to tell you what to believe. But I think we should be allowed to ask these questions. But what happens when we ask such questions? We're told to sit down and shut up. We're told that hey, you're spreading conspiracy, misinformation. Let's immediately go to the next segment. Again, I'm going to connect all of this hopefully together. Laura Ingraham, this is just a 50-second clip from Laura Ingraham. Watch this.
Ingraham Engel from D.C. tonight. Two California doctors tore up the internet over the last few days when they made the case for reopening America. Okay, tonight they're here exclusively to make their case and to answer some of the nasty critics, and you know who you are. Also, we've dug further into the government's efforts to pretty much discredit the benefits of hydroxychloroquine. It's used all over the world. Infectious disease specialist Stephen Smith is here to respond to those findings. Plus, another doc is suing the state over limiting the drug. Well, which state? We'll tell you. He's here tonight. And Raymond Arroyo has taken another deep look into the sexual assault allegations against Joe Biden. He's here and he's going to tell us what he found and how the media are covering it all up. But first, my thoughts at the end of day 42. Can you believe it? America in shutdown. Now, many of you are probably feeling kind of like I'm feeling. It's a weird feeling, isn't it? I mean, it's horrible. You feel like all the people who suffered out there. You're also living in kind of a time warp.
Okay, can you pause that for a second? Somehow I messed up the video. Just keep that where it's at. I messed up the videos. I apologize. The issue here is when the two doctors took to the airwaves, took to Fox News, and then on their own had published videos on their own about this. They were banned off of YouTube. They were banned off of others, other media platforms, including Facebook and Twitter. The posts were disappearing left and right. Again, why? And I, there was a segment where Laura Ingraham was saying that. It was saying, look, they were banished. With all respect that is due to the victims of this virus, and I know there are victims to this virus, of this virus. With respect to them, I would say that, look, you know, it's held to be a statistic, or it's held to be a family member of a statistic. And I mean that, having lived long enough to have gone through that many times. I mean, you have a family member, for example, who is murdered. Well, how many murders are there in the United States on an annual basis? Statistics don't have feelings. But we're talking about human beings here. We're talking about people who that somebody care about. You know, somebody cares about. People care about. A wife, a husband, a dad, a mom. You get the idea. So when it affects you, it's not a statistic. So I understand that there are real people really dying from this. But like I said earlier, like I said before, the numbers in California are a lot different than the numbers in New York. There are geographical differences, but in reality, the death rates are different. Now, why is that? There could be a number of reasons for that. And you can listen to the doctors who get into those reasons. As both in theory and in practicality, based on the knowledge that they have and the test results that they have. And we'll finish playing the Laura Ingraham clip here in a moment. But I guess I said all of that, and I wanted you to know that contrary opinions are disallowed. In this, what we're seeing today, and if you take nothing else from this, this is all about control. This has nothing to do with your safety or mine. It's all about control, whether you wear a mask. It's masked tyranny, for example. And that might be a good hashtag or a good meme. Masked tyranny. A play on words, but effectively, I believe. It's all about control. But the question remains, what is the real reason? Is it just about control? Yes. Yes. But control of the people, to what end? ID 2020, real ID, of course, part of that, or a small part of that. The chip, the nanotechnology that has emerged and comes into play. We're seeing all of this. This is a vehicle to that end, at the very least. And there are other things that come into play here as well. For example, a governor says you can't, for example, you can go in your boat as long as it's parked in the garage. You've got to know there are people in the government that are watching the reactions of people. We are all under the microscope right now. Under the bubble of observation, under surveillance by the government to gauge our reactions. At what point will we, they're looking at, for example, at what point will we say enough is enough? I mentioned that study before. Bob, by mid-June, we're going to snap. I contend that's charitable and generous. I think if you would resurvey those 1,895 individuals today, those numbers would be, that date would be woefully generous. So what is really going on here? It's exerting power of the individuals among those individuals and many more against the American people and against everyone in the West. And have you noticed kind of a divergent thought here. When you were out to the grocery store, if you've gone to the grocery store or if you've gone out, or mass transportation, if it's running in your area, and you see people wearing masks, I don't know about you, but me, it immediately, the first time I saw that, am I in Southeast Asia? Am I in China? Because think about it, and I mentioned this yesterday, the Chinese, Communist Chinese Party, what they're doing is pushing their morality into our system, in their belief in the communist system, the collective, or as one would say, the globalists, into American culture, American society, American business, in the American way of life. But to me, the first time I saw all the masks, because of course our tyrannical governor in this state requires mask wearing if you're out in public, or you can get fined or worse. Or asked to leave or find or worse. I thought, my goodness, this is like communist China. Pre-COVID communist China. But see, they're more evolved, aren't they? All right. Let's go to video 4. Since I screwed up video 3, let's go to video 4. And maybe that's, maybe I had it backwards. I don't know. This is from Fox News.
On the website?
Yeah, that's the one on the website.
Let me get it.
Okay, all right. Because I think, you know what? Why don't we go right to, instead of this, in the interest of time, Powerline Blog. Let's take a look at Powerline Blog. Can we do that easier or no?
Yes.
All right, that's cool. Let's take a look at Powerline Blog. I had it up here moments ago. And what happened to it? All right, let me see. There it is. Now, let me pull it up on my computer because I can't read the preview monitor. All right, here it is here. And this I find very interesting, and I find very germane to what we're talking about. And I think that this has this is what I was getting at before. And this has a lot to do with Diamond and Silk, and has a lot to do with Fox News, and has a lot to do with the social media and everything we find ourselves in today. This is an article from Powerline, and it was posted today, I guess it was, by Scott Johnson. The title is "Was It Something He Said?" And you can read this for yourself. John posted the compelling video of doctors Dan Erickson and the other doctor, a report from the front lines over the weekend in two parts at the time. John posted the videos. They had more than 2 million views. Now the doctors decried California's COVID-19 related lockdown, in particular on medical and economic grounds. Part one carried the heart of the doctor's remarks in about 50 minutes. They own Accelerated Urgent Care in Bakersfield, Fresno. It's all a whole bunch of places in California. Their remarks were based on their experience, personal experience. Now, look, I would take the frontline people on the front lines, their reports, more than I would take some bean counter in at Stanford or whatever. But again, they focused on their own experience, widened the discussion to take in California generally. So Laura Ingraham invited these doctors on, which I don't think you saw because I cut it off before, on her program, the Ingraham Angle. In fact, it was last night. Now, my wife recorded that for me last night, and very interesting show. Anyway, Laura Ingraham invited the doctors on last night. As events transpired, and I'm reading from the Powerline article here, she was able to report in real time that YouTube had removed the viral part one video following the segment for violating YouTube's terms of service. And muses the author, it must have been something he said. Let's go ahead and take a look at that video, first video on the Powerline blog, if we can. And if not,
huge reaction to the two docs we had on at the top of the show, Dan Erickson and Artin Masihi. Well, YouTube just took down their viral video challenging the COVID narrative when it comes to, you know, what's happening in California, especially. Ironically, this is exactly what they warned about, that this isn't about science. This is about control. And in this case, control of a narrative. We should have seen it coming. YouTube CEO was on CNN 8 days ago saying, quote, anything that would go against World Health Organization recommendations would be a violation of our policy. Removal is another really important part of our policy. Well, if you aren't worried about censorship in this country, you better be now. It's not the government doing it, but something that controls so much of the dialogue is fairly close to the kind of censorship I never thought we'd see in this country. That is truly terrifying. Shannon Brame and the Fox News at Night team have all the latest, and they take it from here. Shannon.
Okay, you can, if you can find it on Fox News, you can catch up with the Shannon Brame. The story there, the story in this case is about, as she said, it's about control of the narrative, but it's bigger than that. I submit to you, it's about controlling us, controlling our behaviors, controlling our reactions and responses. So at the end of the day, where are we at? Well, when you take into account, for example, in my view, when you take into account what we've been through over the last month and a half, how we've been controlled, how we have been the jackbooted, tyrannical system has quarantined not just the sick. Again, I said yesterday, quarantine of the sick is prudent, locking down the well or quarantining the well or locking down the people who are well is tyrannical. They're testing the limits. They're attempting to control the narrative, but this is all a means to an end. That's what this is. How great was it that the tyrannical globalist controllers were able to take something you cannot see. I mean, how frightening is that? Think about this. You can't see it. It's odorless. It's colorless. You don't know if it's on the surface. You don't know if it's in the air. You just don't know. But man, if you get it in it, depending on your condition, you could be 6 feet under. In a day, in a matter of hours, who knows? Rile up the people. And you know, Americans, as a general rule, we're pretty okay with believing the government. And think about President Trump being in the chair, making the decisions, and having Fauci come to you and say, if you don't get on board here, the blood of 2-5 million Americans is going to be on your hands. Hey, so what do? Do you question that? And then you've got Burks and others, people. Yeah, that could be, possibly. We don't know. Again, you can't see it. It's odorless. It's colorless. It's could be on the box. I mean, how many people have left boxes delivered to their homes in their garages or out in the sun or whatever? Because of all of this, could live in on a surface for 24 days. Can it? I don't know. I would imagine it depends on the strain. I would imagine it depends on, you know, if there's a big loogie there. I don't know. But see, the exploitation of the lack of what we do know was the vehicle and is the vehicle, the primary vehicle to control. But to what end? Shut this country down. Make sure that we don't know, up from down, right from left, black from white, we don't know what the hell normal is anymore. We don't know if we go outside, if we're going to get the black plague or whatever, some equivalent to it. Scare the people enough to put masks on and to use hand sanitizer until your hands bleed. And you see the control. Now, if there was an invading army of Huns coming across the Canadian border, there you can see it. I mean, you might even be able to smell them. Certainly, you'll hear them and see them. But this is a nebulous enemy, isn't it? This amorphous, nebulous is the wrong word. This amorphous, you can't see it, you don't know. So there's some trust, but at this point now, the veils are being dropped one by one by one by one. And now we're getting a clearer picture. Yet the exploits in some cases continue. And by that I mean the governors, Newsom, the governor, Michigan, Illinois, Pennsylvania, New York, California, Newsom. Oh, you don't want to see, people on the beach. You don't want to see people. This is something we don't want to see. And again, you have doctors, come on, two doctors, on the front lines, real numbers, real experience, real science, saying, look, this is what it is. This is what we found. And that truth, that science, that non-conspiracy in any way is taken off YouTube. It's taken off of mainstream media, Diamond Silk saying, hey, could this be maybe a way to hurt Donald Trump? Yeah, they're taken off of Fox News. We'll go this far, but no further. Fox News, maybe? You've got to think for yourself. My message to you is this, to wrap this all up. We've been played. We're being played. It's all about control. It's less about safety. It's less about your life. It's more about destroying the economy. It's more about not this, but what comes next. What comes next? And by that, I mean there's something else coming. Folks, I don't know what it is. I don't proclaim to know what it is. But I'll tell you this. The globalists, the people in charge, they can't afford to have us free. President Trump in power for another term. We're right now, I believe, in the most dangerous time in American history in recent years. Think about it. Going to be right back. Stan Dale coming up.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Thank you.
And welcome back to Hagmann, where truth can't be silenced. You know, I got to tell you, I read legal documents sent to me and documents, other documents sent to me. People really hate that, where truth can't be silenced. There are some people that really hate that statement. Oh, I wish I could read some. I wish I could read. I really do. I can't, but I can. I guess there's nothing stopping me, but yeah. Oh, my goodness. You know, if it's Tuesdays, it's Tuesdays with Stan. And Stan Deo is one of the, he's an intrepid researcher. He's a real, I like to call him the real Indiana Jones. Before I get to Stan, I'm going to tell you something. Or I'm going to ask you something. All right. Let me ask you this. Are you paying more money in interest than you need to on your credit cards? Okay. Say it with me. Yep. Because I know you are. I know. I was. Eric the Tech was. I mean, you look at the rates, my goodness, but you can refinance your debt today with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream, my friends at Lightstream. I want you to take a pen, pencil, whatever, write this down. Lightstream.com/Hagmann. Okay. Write that down and check it out today. You can quickly roll balances from multiple credit cards into one single monthly loan payment. You can get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with autopay, much lower than the national average credit card rate of over 19% APR. You know what? I got to tell you this. I had a credit card, and I'm not lying to you. I had a credit card in my pocket that I used for travel. It was almost 25%. With Lightstream.com, you can fix that. Lightstream.com/Hagmann. There are absolutely no fees. The application is quick and easy. It's 100% online. You can even get your money as soon as the same day you apply. I received a testimonial. And here it is, right here. If I didn't receive it, I couldn't do this with it. That's right. Here's the deal. I was listening to your program the other day. You're one of my favorite podcasts. Thank you, by the way. And it prompted me to do some additional research about Lightstream. After shopping around for a personal loan that didn't go very well, I wanted a lower interest rate on my credit cards. I found Lightstream. I used your code. That's lightstream.com/Hagmann. Found that their rate was the best by far. And as you said, there were no fees, and I had my cash within 24 hours. Overall, it was a gratifying experience, and I would highly recommend this to anyone looking to lower their interest rate on their credit cards. And that is Lucy from Knoxville, Tennessee. So here's what you need to do, folks. Apply today to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is from my friends at Lightstream. Go to lightstream.com/Hagmann, two N's on Hagmann. Let me spell it out for you. It's LightStream.com/Hagmann, lightstream.com/Hagmann, and that's HAGMANN. Say it with me. Lightstream.com/Hagmann. It's subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Let's visit lightstream.com/Hagmann for more information. Do that for me, please. Will you? Save yourself a lot of money, by the way. All right. Now, Stan Dale from standale.com. How you doing, my friend? Let me see if I can see you. I can hear you. Yeah, I got you. There you are.
Level okay.
Good job. Yeah.
Okay. Look, a few problems with the computer today with Skype.
Oh.
They deleted my control over the image, and also YouTube has deleted some of my videos there. They said they were controversial, so I'm having a bit of trouble getting images to you here.
You know what, Stan? First of all, YouTube has been deleting. I mean, tell you what, what kind of stuff? Like COVID stuff or what?
Well, where I was discussing, it was a replay of my video sections of the exposure I made on disclosure, what was happening, what I was doing, you know, in Australia, all that I recorded at this private house here close to NORAD back in 2000. I flew up here just to do the interview for Greer.
Dr. Greer. But, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, it was up there for a while on my Patreon channel. This is not even, I haven't even made it public. It was just in the Patreon section, and they deleted it. Content unsuitable.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, Stan, I was talking to Eric the Tech, too. You got to watch, because all of a sudden, if you have something like that on your Patreon channel, there goes your Patreon channel. I'm telling you, we're going to have to get back to, I think, you know, hard copy stuff by mail. I don't know what else to do.
I don't either. I can put up some of these videos on my private server and just bypass YouTube altogether. I guess you could do the same thing. But
yeah. Wow, it sounds like you had a rough day, man. You look haggard.
It has been a nightmare. You know, I've got at least an image coming through to you and voice. Is my voice level okay for you guys?
Eric, what say you? Yep, he said yes. So
okay. And I can hear you, and there's no feedback, which is, well, that's a win-win.
Plus, you're looking spiffy, and you're looking good, and a little bit stressed, but that's all right. We're all stressed.
Yeah. Where to start today on the news? I've got to get back to the real world here now.
Well, okay, before you do that, let me ask you something. What's the temperature where you're at? The outside temperature? What's the, you know?
Maybe 65, 70, something like that. It's going to be 93 today. Why?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just so sick and tired of 40s and 50s. I don't know, Stan. I'm just so tired of rain, gray skies, 40, 50 degrees, you know. I had to ask you and kind of live through you vicariously because, you know. I don't know.
Yesterday we were out. I was out with a chainsaw cutting some dead limbs off a peach tree that got hit by the blight, and that was last season. And Holly and I were planting things in the squash and watermelon bed yesterday. She's out there now putting up black shields, fabric shields around the onions and a couple of the smaller beds, because we're supposed to have hot, dry winds today. And the plants are still so young, we don't want to kill them.
Man.
You know, Farmer Deo, Mr. and Mrs. Farmer Deo.
Well, I'll tell you what, it pays though, doesn't it? And that's one thing I've been talking with people in the city, and they've been saying, you know, I was communicating with somebody who lives in New York City, and she said this. She said, I heard last week talking with Stan about gardening and stuff, and it makes me want to buy a farm. So, you know, imagine that.
Well, for years now, then Holly and I have been warning people, you know, get out of the major cities because you can't, you know, have auxiliary power, you know, very much if you're an apartment. And, you know, you can't get food except, you know, limited amounts. You can't store it if you're in an apartment. There's just not enough room to store what you need for 6 months to a year. We've been telling people get out and in the Prudent Places USA, the DVD that Holly made, you know, is it a DVD or is it a PDF file? But anyway, Prudent Places.
It's a PDF DVD.
And we take a lot of phone calls over the last 15 years about where to go, and it depended on whether people needed hospital access or, you know, road, or they go to and from work and all that kind of stuff. And so we counsel a lot of people who are still doing that. And here we are, and there's now people waking up saying, well, gee, what do I do? And it's probably not their fault, because we haven't penetrated deep enough into the marketplace for people to know what we do to help them. But
well, folks,
a lot of people waking up.
Let me use that as a plug here, because you don't plug your stuff half as much as you should, in my view. Look, folks, go to standeo.com and invest in Dare to Prepare, Cosmic Conspiracy, Prudent Places USA. What's the other one? You've got several others. Garden Gold.
Dare Garden Gold.
I mean, there's a tremendous amount.
Standeo, Garden Gold.
Yeah. And become a patron.
Sorry, go on.
And folks, become a patron of Stan and Holly Dale, because they do such good work, and I believe in them, and I'm a patron, and I think you should be too, because the information there is second to none. So thank you, Stan. Okay, I just wanted to get that plug in there. And by the way, while you're reading that and looking at that, have a cup of Hagman coffee. HagmanStore.com. I just wanted to throw that in there too. So anyway, all right, go ahead, Stan. I won't interrupt anymore.
Yeah, we had our first fireside chat with our patrons over the weekend on Sunday evening, I think it was. Yeah, about 6 Mountain Standard Time. And we ran about an hour and a half over, about 30 minutes over. But a nice group of people. Some of them didn't get to attend because of various technical reasons, trying to get logged onto the Zoom thing. But we had a great time. And they told me some of the things they were interested in, and surprisingly, they were interested in the UFO situation regarding right now. How does it fit? That led to a discussion or me talking about the Cosmic Conspiracy book that I wrote in 1978. And in there, I have several mentions of how the world is going to be brought to its knees by various crisis curves, and one of them was pandemics or viruses. And, of course, we're there. And then another one was financial collapse of the world economic system. We're on the verge of that now. Another one was the threat of nuclear war in the Middle East. Well, duh, we're there now. You know, a famine. Well, gosh, it's going to start very shortly in the stores because our delivery system of the food is breaking down regardless of whether the farms can produce now in this drought condition. So, you know, it's the Cosmic Conspiracy is becoming very timely, and in the 2010, the last edition of it I did, the final edition, at the end of it, I have a section on the Great Deception, the UFO landing claiming to be, you know, our messiahs from space, our elder brothers or whatever. And you'll notice, and radio and mainstream TV, we're now starting to see more about, and news, more about the UFOs are here. The Navy footage is a good example of where the naval pilots, 10 years ago, were filming these things traveling at incredible speeds and in squadrons and not just single UFOs. And so this being released to the public tells me they were very close to the point where when the world is about to explode, whether or implode, depending on your point of view, with these crisis curves, with pandemics, with finances, with famines, with nuclear war threat, possibly an asteroid impact threat, all these various curves that I talked about in the Cosmic Conspiracy, 42 years ago, it's now all coming to pass. And I'm reminded of one of my hippie friends of the time when I wrote the book, and he wrote in my book cover when I gave it to him, he says, "Far up, man, it's all happening." And that's what we're at now. It's all happening. Biblical prophecies are coming true right before our very eyes. So get the Cosmic Conspiracy.
Absolutely.
Read about that. I didn't know at the time how long it was going to be before all these things transpired, because I expected it to happen a lot quicker, having been briefed in my work with Dr. Edward Teller's group that this was a global plan to bring about a world government. And so, you know, I went on television there in Perth in 1977, in September, I think it was, and then after that wrote the book, published it in 1978, the Cosmic Conspiracy book. So, yeah, there's a lot more copies than that been sold now, and we get mail, email and stuff from all over the world, hopefully most of it in English. We do have some in French from the French translation, and not many from the German, but, it's amazing how far the book has gone. I was going to be happy just to get rid of 5,000 copies when I first printed it, and they were gone before you could, blink your eyes. They were just, people were really hungry for that knowledge back then. And that was in Australia, and the American market I had trouble getting in because people were told to put it under the counter, and in one case in Louisiana, there was a postal employee that phoned me, actually, and told me, he says, "Look, I just want you to know that we've had guys in suits, black suits, come into the post office here and tell us that not to take these books, your books from the United States, into the United States, and to trash them." And Christian bookstores were told to put it under the counter by the same kind of guys. But now that I'm back and people are able to see it and hear it, at least the message is getting out. There's There's even pirate copies all over the internet at the moment. I don't know how many thousands of those are. It's worth stealing. It's worth reading.
You know, it makes you wonder, doesn't it, what's in there that is so, oh, I don't know, so objectionable or so would cause the black-suited men to say, hey, you put it under the counter or get rid of it or don't. So what's the threat there? You know, is it just one issue or is it several issues? And I can tell
it's
the whole book.
Issue. It was the main issue about warning people that we have this technology in the back room. We have made deals with these quote-unquote aliens. And the whole objective since the end of World War II has been to form a world government where the people of the world cry out for it rather than being forced on them like Hitler or United Nations trying to bring peace. None of those work. But Alternative 3, that was the plan, is the plan still. And at the time, back in the early 80s, there were mixed opinions here in the Defense Department and in the administration in the White House about whether or not to stop my book and me. I know because Jim Schlesinger, Clinton's Secretary of Defense, when he was down here on a trip with Clinton years later, told me that they had copies of my book in the White House and in the Defense Department, and that my approach or my understanding of what the situation was absolutely correct, and it was their plan. Because my circulation is limited, I guess, in their figures, in their view, it wasn't a big threat. I had more trouble with problems with people coming to my lectures and trying to disrupt them down in Australia. Here in the United States, after I got back, nobody touched me. And I only got back because Jim Schlesinger approved it in the State Department and reinstated my passport and citizenship and let me come home. And it was in 2001. Prince Charles has a copy of it. Ronald Reagan, his wife, got him a copy of the Cosby Conspiracy. And basically I laid out the plan in there about how to and why to form a world government the way they're doing. And the fact that it was fulfilling biblical prophecy and bringing to rise, the government for the Antichrist of this time. And as I said earlier today, I never thought it would take this long for it to materialize. It might be that I slowed up the plan by making it obvious, in my book and lectures and things, because, boy, in Australia, there wasn't a household there that didn't know about what I was doing, because television shows and all that kind of stuff. But here, it was very censored. Now, it's out in the open, and a millennial generation, they aren't aware of all these things, and they're gullible because they haven't been educated as to what is about to happen and what we have in the back room and what deals we've made in the back room with satanic ones, the fallen ones, the aliens, they call them here. But, I'm on my soap.
No, you know what? This is so interesting, Stan, but do you think – I spent the first hour talking about what we're seeing with this novel coronavirus or the Communist Chinese Party virus, the exploitation of that. I see that as the means to an end, as opposed to really it's not the virus that's the end. It's the means to an end. Is this part of it? Because I described about it's something. It's odorless. You can't hear it. You can't see it. You can't feel it, and it's, you don't know if it's real. It's confusing. People, the doctors say, oh, it's horrible. This to me seems like a perfect opportunity to use this to control the populace and to kind of, use it as a vehicle for exactly what you're describing. Maybe I didn't say that right, but.
No, I understand where you're going, and it's a crisis that I've been expecting, and it's a crisis that is being played up in the media to be more threatening than it is at this point in time. The real one will come later during the next 7 to 10 years, I'm pretty sure, but the plan all along was to frighten the people of Earth by these crisis curves in the press, and in minor versions of it, like minor economic fluctuations and minor, pandemics and minor famines and this kind of stuff. And what we're seeing now is minor compared to what it's going to be. So the idea was to get people's attention, because otherwise you couldn't get them to want a global government, because there was no need. They were fine. They were fat. They were happy. The wallet was full. You know, everything's fine. So you had to get people's attention in the world, not just the United States, but the whole world. And that way, you know, you use these crises and accelerate them in the press to be just absolutely mind-boggling. But then, fortunately, we get out of them. North Korea, okay, the threat of EMP and nuclear strikes. And then, well, that was really hit. And then, of course, he's faded in the background. But now we've got China and Russia breathing down our neck because of this whole coronavirus thing that set the world on its ears. These things are, again, being played up, in my opinion, ahead of the real crises, so that we can form a world government, you know, the humans can, with Satan's help, they can form this world government way before the crisis curves get serious, so they have a hope to solve the planet. As I've said many times, the globalists, you know, the Illuminati and stuff, that they certainly have self-interest in what they're doing, because they want control, but they also know that they need the people of Earth, you know, to grow things, make things, and to do that, we've got to have them under control and to protect themselves from themselves. And that's where we're headed. I can't stress that enough. It's been 42 years that I've been telling this message to people, and it's happening.
22 years.
It's really good.
You were among the first to give us a heads up about what's coming, and obviously, you know, the front wall of this, the eye, you know, it's here. I mean, it's arguably here. So thank you for the heads up. And Cosmic Conspiracy lays it all out, folks. Definitely grab yourself a copy if you haven't done so already at standeo.com. Please do that. That's Stan, D-E-Y-O, standeo.com. Final edition 2010. The book has been in the hands of world leaders and people in 22 countries. It's amazing. Over a 250,000 copies sold by word of mouth, as you can see on the screen. And it's available in a couple of, English, French, and German. So there you go. All right. Fantastic.
Hey, Doug, do you remember John Paul Jackson?
No. Should I?
Okay. Well, he just a Christian minister and with some prophecy. In slide 51 on my show images page, you click on the text. That should take you, hopefully, to, right. Yeah. He predicted a Middle East war. A war will be preceded by excess oil supply. And what do we see now, you know, in the world? We've got a glut of oil. It's killing our shale oil production, you know, companies, all kinds of stuff. It was a war, I think, initiated by Mohammed bin Salman and King Salman, his father, with some of the help from Russia, actually. But it's odd that this guy would, you know, he's been dead a couple of years now, but that he would forecast this as the surplus of oil would lead to a war in the Middle East. Now, will that war be between China, Russia combined against the United States and Israel, or Iran, China, Russia? You know, you can kind of discuss that and debate it, you know, it's an item, but something is going to happen in the Middle East. We're going to have a threat, if not a limited nuclear exchange in the Middle East, probably Israel against Hezbollah or Iranian puppets in Damascus. I fully expect Damascus to be nuked overnight, if not to be destroyed by volcanic eruptions in the area there, northern Syria. Anyway, we're at the point now where we need to get their attention, and the threat of nuclear war by Israel, you know, nuking one or two little sites, you know, will put panic into the public. And it won't be a major war. It's going to be, in my opinion, a small precursor skirmish to get people's attention. People have got to want this new world order for them to be able to succeed and put the Antichrist into power. And this guy here, I'd not run across his stuff until this weekend. You know, this John Paul Jackson, and you can look him up and see what his ministry was like, and take it for a grain of salt or whatever. But I do think that we are on the verge of a limited nuclear exchange in the Middle East.
And oil, of course, being the catalyst for that, the price of oil being the Yeah, oil being the catalyst, obviously, as laid out in this article here.
Hmm. Well, it also says, what slide is that down at the bottom of my show? Let me just page there. Slide 48. Go to slide 48. Saudi Arabia turns its back on the United States. And it's trying to sink our shale and oil production. If you read that article there, you'll see that our friends, in quotes, the ones that probably orchestrated or paid for the 9/11 problem, are now back at trying to collapse us economically. Trump and Jared Kushner and a number of others have been trying to make a Middle East peace treaty between Israel and Saudi Arabia and Iran and, you know, the whole area. And Saudi Arabia was a key component of this peace treaty. Now, at the moment, it's been meeting such huge resistance. It's amazing, from the Palestinians and pro-Palestinian supporters and, you know, the extremist Islamic groups. Now, if we were to have a nuke go off in Syria somewhere,
Hey, Stan, can you hold on just a second? Did you hit something, your microphone or whatever, because your audio all of a sudden just kind of dipped really low?
Is it all right now?
It's a little better, yep.
Well, I don't know why.
Okay, that was good.
Yeah, well, I'll try to boost it up here. Let me see if I can do that.
Yeah, it was just like a click, and then your audio went pretty silent.
Oh, wow. Well, I don't think I did anything except changing something on our browser to look at another page. But, wow. Well, let me continue. I'm sorry. No, everything is on here. I'm looking. Can you still hear me?
Yes. Again, it's low, Stan, but.
All right. Well, let me just try to get the system override here and see if I can input. Is that better there?
There you go.
Much better?
Much better.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. It apparently my sound levels on the master system dipped for some reason.
No, it sounds like you're sitting next to me. So
they might be wandering around my computer these days. I mean, there's such weird stuff happening today with my programs. Stuff that worked yesterday is not working today. And I have rebooted and done everything I could possibly think of to make them work right, but not happening. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, another thing, slide 47, you see a picture of Mohammed bin Salman and Putin on the phone talking about the oil price war and who was going to do what, you know, and MBS in his typical fashion lost his cool, and there was a shouting match between him and Putin, and this article tells you about it. They have flooded the market with oil, as it says. And I think now is the time to buy gasoline and stuff if you need it, because they've certainly driven the prices down. They're going to be down for a while. But this article tells you about that. And, Mohammed bin Salman, I want to talk about him for a second here.
All right.
Go up to slide 53.
All right.
Okay, Saudi Arabia has squandered its wealth, and it wants you to hold the bag for it. Saudi Arabia plans to sell up to $10 billion worth of oil assets, but after the disastrous Aramco IPO initial purchase offer, will anyone take the bait? So we know they've been trying to sell a small percent of Aramco, which is the Saudi national company for oil, centered on the base there at Dammam Island. Now, Mohammed bin Salman, if you've been kind of following him occasionally in the press, he's bought a $450 million mansion in France. He's bought, an alleged Da Vinci painting for hundreds of millions as well. He's just throwing money around like crazy. And there might be a method to his madness. I don't know. I can't really figure out what it would be. But in the article, you can see here down where it says Saudi Arabia's asset sales are a scam. It's divesting many of its state-owned assets to generate cash to help bolster the sovereign wealth fund, which is, the ruling family, the Salmans. And if you just read on down through the article, I'm just trying to see where it starts in there. It just lists the things that he's blown his money on. In 2017, Saudi Arabia invested in the failed co-working startup WeWork through the SoftBank Managed Vision Fund. It also lost $1.1 billion on Uber and sold Tesla shares right before the stock soared to $900, losing the kingdom up to $4.5 billion in unrealized gains. Now he's trying to buy an English soccer team for $380 million. And he's building a $500 billion city in the desert we've talked about called Neom. There may be method to his madness, but when you step back and on the surface and look at it, Mohammed bin Salman is like a young kid, you know, in a candy store. He's gobbling up everything without thinking about what it's going to cost him and the country, you know, the Saudi kingdom. Now, if he's going to be an antichrist, the antichrist or whatever, maybe there is a long-term plan to this method to his madness. I don't know. But he has a quick temper, as we discussed just a few minutes ago with Putin, shouting at each other. Mainly him shouting at Putin. It's like a young man who, you know, is not getting his way and stomps his foot. Will he be a good antichrist? I don't know. Certainly the antichrist will have a temper and, you know, have fierce countenance, I think the Bible says. So I've still got my eye on him. He's definitely a player in all this. Slide 46 also says that the Arab League has called an urgent meeting to torpedo Israel's annexation plans of Samaria and the area there in the West Bank. Now, why is that linked to Mohammed bin Salman? Well, Mohammed bin Salman pulled together 34 Arab nations to form the Arab League, or Arab Union, depending on how you want to call it, which is one of the reasons in slide 14 where I was talking about his qualifications for being an antichrist. His initials are MBS. And the Arabic Union, which is what we're talking about, this Arab League, is AU. You put those together, you get Mabus, which Nostradamus predicted would be the name of the Antichrist of this age. Whether we believe that, in Nostradamus' stuff is accurate or not is another thing. But it does seem to fit there for the moment. And now here's the Arab League meeting, and they're trying to stop Israel's plan to annex, you know, Judea and Samaria, West Bank, in other words. And that needs to be done under the current efforts to make a peace treaty in the Middle East. This is not going to happen until the situation gets urgent, in my opinion, and the Palestinians are frightened as well as the rest of the Arab neighbors. And I think that will only happen when Israel has used a nuke or a couple of nukes in defending itself against Iran and the Iran proxies like Hezbollah. So we're at the verge there. All these news items, they just can't kind of point at that,
I didn't mean to interrupt, but to me, it's interesting when you look back at history, for example, even recent history from 91, the first Gulf War, Desert Storm, and then, of course, the decade of unrest, the Arab Spring, Libya, Syria, the destruction of Syria, this power switch in the Middle East. I mean, it's been building now for the past couple of, well, all of this century anyway, if not, the better part of last century. It's all been kind of moving toward where we're at today. It's fertilized the ground to make this potential nuclear exchange a reality, as I see it. And that kind of goes back to your book, Cosmic Conspiracy, too. I throw that in there as well, because you kind of lay that out in that form, too, to bring us all to this. We're kind of in the stadium right now.
You want to get that or you want me to get it?
Well, you know what? You go ahead.
Goodbye.
The Saudi prince.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah, right. Stop talking, yeah, right.
Okay, Bobby.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, who, these days, you know, who knows? But, so the annexation plans of Israel.
Look at slide 49, and that tells you more about the Israelis and trying to annex those two areas. It's a top priority for Israel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, did you guys cover in the last few days the fact that they have a government in Israel, that Netanyahu's formed a government with Gantz, his opposition, but that for a year and a half, Netanyahu, the next year and a half, will be the prime minister, but after that he turns it over to Gantz and the blue-white party to run the country. So that means that we've got, in the next year and a half, they have got to form this peace treaty under Netanyahu, his deal with the MBS and with Washington, you know, with Jared Kushner and all that. That has to happen while he's still in power. So you can see here that he's now put the urgent marker, you know, we've got to do it now on, let's annex, you know, Samaria or the West Bank and, you know, all that area there. And this article tells you that he's really desperate to do it. And that's why he's got control of the Knesset, in essence. So it all fits in. We see it all coming to a head right now. I'm amazed to see it happening so rapidly, just amazed.
Yeah, it's almost like you know it's coming, you're expecting it, and then it happens as quickly as it does. It does take your breath away. The government, I really haven't spent virtually no time on Israel and the government. Explain that to me, if you don't mind, if you have the time and interest.
About what?
About Netanyahu. So he's what's the deal there? I mean, they have
a president of Israel,
right,
who kind of is a referee between the various parties. Now, it's not as simple as Republicans and Democrats, you know, bi-party type thing.
Right.
They have multiple parties that form coalitions. And Netanyahu has his coalition groups, which are more conservative, following, you know, the Netanyahu type attitude. But then the Gantz party, the blue-white party, it's a coalition, rather, of some Arab groups, Palestinian groups, left-wing Israeli group. That's the blue-white thing with Gantz. And to get a government, you have to have a majority of the 121 seats there in the Knesset, their parliament. And in the last two or three elections they've had in the space of 18 months, they couldn't get a clear majority of 61 seats one way or the other to form a government. And so the president there said to both of the party leaders, to Gantz and to Netanyahu, guys, get together and figure it out. I want to have a government. You know, you've got to, one of you's got to concede to the other. And it never happened. So after three times of that, three elections and trying to form a government, then the president allowed Netanyahu's plan to have a shared government go into effect. So for a year and a half now, instead of, you know, just until the next election or anything, for a year and a half, Netanyahu is going to be leading the country. And then he'll turn it over under this agreement to Gantz. But in this interim time, when you have this very fragile ruling government in Israel, if Netanyahu is going to bring that peace treaty to fruition, he's going to do it. He's going to have to do it in the next year and a half. And I'd say within the next year, probably even less than that.
Okay, so that
apologize
even,
for inequality here, but it's just
no, that's
stupid.
All right. But that even makes the timing even that more critical. Is what I'm hearing. Okay, so I get it now. I mean, it's just one more part or piece of the puzzle. One more thing. Wow. Okay.
I'm amazed, as I've said many times in recent shows here with you, I'm amazed at how rapidly all these events are taking place, shaping up for exactly what the Bible says is going to happen in the last days of this age before we, you know, get to the millennial kingdom. We're going to get to a tribulation period first, and that's we're at the doorstep of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't say what month or week or whatever, but, from all the analyses that we can get at the moment, it's sometime in the next year and a half, we're going to see the entry into the great 7-year tribulation.
Okay. Yeah. Look, I don't pretend to know even the time frame. But I'll tell you what, I have a feeling that tribulation is going to be really bad. I mean, bad, bad. People are complaining now, but it's going to be.
Well, the first 3.5 years of it, I think we're going to see minor crises that the Antichrist will apparently solve for the people, including the Middle East peace situation. But the last 3.5 years, I think, are going to be, as you say, absolutely devastating to life on the planet. And so You don't want to be here for that if you can avoid it. On a good note, the Israelis, I forget what slide it is. Let me just see here. Slide 50. You talk about coronavirus and stuff. The Israelis, a small startup company in Israel that has figured out a way to turn tap water into antivirus or antibacterial as well, disinfectant. And they're going to make it into little bottles and stuff that they can you can sell and buy, you know, obviously as a consumer. But it's an interesting video to watch to see what they've done. Israel is making some of the leading discoveries in, you know, medicine stuff that the world needs. And it's a positive thing. So I see a lot of anti-Israel, you know, anti-Hebrew type publicity in the broadcast news and in, you know, the internet news and stuff. But it shouldn't be that way. I mean, they are a very bright, intelligent race over there. And if they can turn tap water into a solution that kills viruses and bacteria, then, you know, my hat's off to them. They've got a lot of other things they've invented as far as, you know, methods of watering gardens and stuff like that over the years that people don't even realize the Israelis invented. But the number of, political and scientific awards that have gone to leading Hebrew people in the last 30 years or so, 40 years, I guess it would be, far outweighs anybody else's, you know, any other country's bright lights, you know, being awarded. I mean, the Nobel Peace Prize is a good example. But anyway, this is one of those good things. And you can click on that site and go to the video down there. It's on the site for worldisraelnews.com. Okay. Israeli research turned tap water into antivirus stuff.
So. You know, it amazes. Well, I shouldn't say it amazes me. It's interesting. And I don't mean to sound in any way disparaging toward any group or race of people, but when you look at discoveries and the progress of the human race, it's been Americans. I mean, look at American, what we've done, you know, in the last 100 years, 200 years. It's been the West. It's been the unoppressed who have the free societies who've had the freedom to create and to, like this Israel, turn tap water into antiviral disinfectant. How great is that? I mean, so it's that alone should serve as an exhibit, I would think, toward, you know, opening the, you know, not being oppressed. Yet here in the United States, you've got, I mean, look what happens. Stan, I guess I'm just talking, I don't know. Look at the regression by the left, by these tyrannical people who want to control every aspect of our lives. And that doesn't work. It doesn't allow for stuff like this. The inventions.
No. Yeah. Years ago when I was teaching, computer graphics in Australia, in Perth there, I had, probably a third of my students were Chinese from wealthy Chinese families, sent their kids down to Australia to get a really good education. And I learned something from one of my Chinese students, well, in fact, from a couple of them, but from one in particular, it was a young woman. And I was, in that day's lesson, I was saying to them, okay, I'm going to give you this picture here of a scene downtown New York. And there are some other pictures that you can use, but this is what I want you to use. And I want you to create something using that image, you know, in Photoshop and put an image into it, you know, on top of it. And so I went around and I was looking at the various students doing their work and I said, oh, yeah, well, that's good. Good idea. Now, when I got to this Chinese girl and she was sitting there not punching any keys, not doing anything, just tears rolling down her face. And I said, what's wrong? She says, well, I will do whatever you want. Just tell me what picture to put. Tell me what you want in there. I don't know. I can't think freely is what she was saying. You tell me and I will do it. And that's the mentality that we were dealing with in China. That's why the people sent their children down there was to not only give them a good education, but to allow them to think freely and not be in that communist controlled state of mind. It just astounded me. So I told her, I said, well, look, you know, what do you like? And, you know, flowers, roses, something like that. Okay, I want you to put a rose floating in the air over New York City there and make it as real as you can. Well, I came back about 30 minutes later. She'd already generated, you know, in digital form, a a rose with a dewdrop on it that you could see reflection in, and it was probably the best work in the whole room. And she was so delighted that she was able to use her own creativity to do that. So it just, it underscores the mentality of a dictatorial communist government. It suppresses invention and development.
Wow.
Another country that's really good is India. They're doing stuff too. Stan,
to me, what you just said there, your description of that, to me, man, isn't that what this is all about? We could take that one. You could take that one subject and go a thousand different directions. Think about that, folks. Think about that. A rose with the dew drop and the reflection. Oh, how great is that? But that mental, what would it be? A mental jail, mental prison, where you can't think for yourself. I mean, how sad is that? But how great is the Western civilization? And how great were you for saying, hey, think for yourself? That's pretty cool. I like that.
Well, it surprised me. I mean, as I said, it was an education to me, and I have to be fair about it and say that my Chinese students down there were the best students I had. They were the brightest, the most alert. Once they got switched on, they far surpassed what the Australian students were doing. They were hungry for freedom and creativity. And boy, once you turn them loose, the work was really great. So don't think that I'm, against Chinese people at all. I'm not. I detest the communist regime that is oppressing those people. My family has even supported Chinese students in exchange, years ago.
Hopefully they'll use it for good. But go ahead.
In addition to China and to Israel, India have some of the brightest mathematicians and researchers in like medicine, stuff like that. I think it's slide 50. Let me just see if it's, is that right? Where is it here? Come on. One of these areas. Oh, it's slide 45. Irreversible, no longer. Blind mice see again, thanks to new method of synthesizing lost cells. When you get to the article, it's talking about how they're using mice, and they figured out a way, instead of stem cells, a different kind of thing called a skin fibroblast cell. And they've been able to reverse blindness like macular degeneration in mice with this. So the blind are going to be able to see with this technology here. Like the lame can walk, the blind can see. We're in an age where all the cultures here on Earth have something to contribute, but particularly the United States, China, Russia, India, Israel, these are the leaders at bringing these technological advancements to Japan. It's bringing out some very, very bright people and ideas, and we're sadly, this is going to be misused and taken over by a dictatorial world government. But
I don't know if this means anything or whatever, but I was looking for something in my desk, and I found the business card from Apollo. I don't know if you're listening. Apollo Lin, who was a detective in Taiwan, and presumably, because he was young at the time. But he was my lab mate, my lab partner in the blood spatter course I took in this is 20 years ago or more. At any rate, it was interesting because the police department sent him to the class so he can come back and set up his own or their own forensics class in Taiwan. I don't know. Again, it made me think of him, Apollo Lin, so from Taiwan. I don't know. We had a good relationship. We were lab partners. I couldn't understand him. He couldn't understand. Well, he could understand me. I couldn't understand him. And so we did a lot of pointing and hand gestures and stuff. But all right, I'll shut up.
I remember just on a personal note, there was this Chinese couple that my mom and dad were sponsoring. They were a husband-wife team. And had him over to our house there in Dallas before I went down to Australia and in Mesquite. And we were having Sunday dinner. And of course, that was fried chicken, mashed potatoes, peas, that kind of stuff. And so we put out the plate of goodies there. And, you know, everybody took their piece of chicken or whatever and put it in their plate. And I left, you know, the wings on there because, you know, they weren't big pieces. I wanted some, you know, leg or breast or whatever it was I got. And after a few minutes, the girl, she said, I think her name was Sung Hua. But anyway, she said, "Is no one going to eat the wings of the chicken?" Well, I said, "Well, take them. You know, they're yours. Take it." She said, "Oh, thank you so much." I said, "Why?" She said, "Only the head of the family can have chicken wings in our culture. It is the prized part or the tastiest part of the chicken." So I learned something there about, you know, I guess we want bigger pieces because, you know, it's more in the tummy or whatever, but I never thought about it. And so just which piece of chicken you can have or do get to have indicates your status there in the Chinese culture. I was really just kind of amazed by that.
And thus was born Hooters in Beijing. Sorry. I'm kidding.
You're bad. You're just bad.
I thought it was
I'd novel. Need to get to some astronomical stuff here if we've got a little bit of time. Slide 44 is rather interesting.
Okay. Ooh.
Now, yeah, I've been telling you that something is wrong. Yeah, I'm not getting magnetic field reports from NASA, from the SDO group. The image on the left there, kind of grayish with green and yellow dots in it, shows two current sunspots. Now, we're in cycle 25. We're starting the 25th solar sunspot cycle now. But what you see is a sunspot with reversed magnetic polarity to the other one. Now, the cycle 24 is on the upper left, and cycle 25 is in the lower right. Those two little yellow boxes. Now, in fact, I think if you click on the picture, it gets a little bit bigger and you can see it. This is not totally unusual, but the fact that we've got two groups of magnetic fields that aren't the same, in other words, they're two different structures, you can see the green of those things, the green poles are facing each other. That's how you know that they're different cycles. And I told you on March 13th, when they stopped producing the magnetic field lines, the North Pole was bent way over on the sun, just bent way over to the right. And I was curious to see where that was going because it was indicating the flip of the North Pole to be in a South Pole, you know, to reverse as it does every 11, you know, half years in the sunspot cycle. But it was really abnormally distorted. Now, if you read, you know, the space weather and, you know, solar observatory comments on it, this is normal. We've had this happen before. But I just, you know, the alarm bells go off for me when I already see indications of strangeness in the magnetic field lines March 13th when they stop, and have not seen it return since then. And then we get this, it's normal type thing. The two cycles are overlapping, and we have north-south poles that are competing with each other. And this is in the equator of the sun, not in the north or southern hemisphere where the normal pole reversals take place. This is right in the middle. So it shows turbulence inside, magnetic turbulence on a grand scale inside the sun. If you look in the picture on the right in the brown, that's what they actually look like right now in the particular wavelength, the 193 angstroms wavelength, those bright spots.
Wow.
And if you look at the bottom of that picture, it's dark where the South Pole is. Fine. You'd expect that when the poles are stabilized. Northern hemisphere, not so much. Look at the top there. It's got browns and, you know, ochre and stuff. It's not a dark pole. It's not stable up there. It's floating around and right toward the equator. So it's something I want people to keep an eye on. Certainly I'm going to keep an eye on it because it is not, in my opinion, the result of a stable star at the moment.
Don't we pay for that? Isn't that government that monitors this and publishes this?
Well, yeah. Well, maybe not.
I mean, are we entitled? Are we entitled to that information when they took this offline? I mean, aren't we?
Well, No, I don't think so, because this is from NASA, the Solar Dynamics Observatory from NASA. NASA is not a government facility.
Okay, all right.
So, you know, it's sad, but that's the way it is.
So
I'm just looking at it right now. Sorry, go on.
No, okay, so this, how does this impact us in terms of what we're seeing here? How does that impact the Earth or us as a population? I'm just curious, if it does.
Well, already we've seen, a coronal mass ejection in the last 10 days that gave us a level one geomagnetic storm, which is okay, that's fine.
Right.
Holly and I noticed it because we became lethargic and disoriented a bit. We normally react to those magnetic storms that way for some
reason.
That's
my normal state, so I wouldn't be able to tell. Lethargic and disoriented. Eric's going to walk me around the studio just to...
Right. I don't know if... Can Eric address... an SDO site and bring up a picture. I want to show you something if I can. Sure. Eric, if you could go to sdo.gsfc.nasa.gov and I'll just repeat that again. sdo.gsfc.nasa.gov. So it's sdo.gsfc. See, okay, right, there you go, there
Look
you go.
Look at him.
Now, okay, he's got it. Now, you see where it says more images in blue down to the lower left there? Of that, go to the left, yeah, see that more images? Click on that. I'm following along with you doing the same thing.
Okay,
now, in the brown one there, the top left one says 193 at the top, you know, angstroms, okay. Open up the data links underneath that, all right. Go down to 1024. PFSS. Okay, now that's March 13th. That's the last time we got these magnetic field lines. Look at the North Pole region, how distorted it was, flipping. It's blank. Down at the bottom, you see where all the lines are converging because it's stable down there. Up in the North Pole region, At the time, I said, there's something weird here. And then everything stopped. We just don't get that image anymore. We get all the other images from them, but not that one.
Well, now, they're listening and watching your site, this show perhaps, who knows, but, you know, I get a little, I feel a little hinky when people start turning stuff off, you know, where, yeah, you know, you can't really see it, or we're going to turn this off because,
Was that, you know, I suppose they could make an argument that coronavirus thing that they had to lay staff off or
sure.
shut down departments or that kind of stuff. You know, there's probably a plausible reason they can give for that. But because it was so weird at the moment they decided to cut it off, you know, my conspiracy things, my, you know, that part of my personality comes forward and I say, well, why did they do this? You know, why did they do this?
And it's well warranted too, given the historical background that we're looking at, Stan, I'm telling you. We're at the end of the program. Can you believe
it? Oh, are we?
Yeah.
Dang. Okay. Well, you guys, look at slide 43 when you get a chance and slide 52. They're interesting astronomical things. Really good, actually. And, sorry, I didn't get to those, but they're
okay.
30th anniversary of shuttle, of Hubble and various other things.
Okay. So 43, no worries. 43 and, what was the other one?
And 52. Beautiful photos and okay. really a lot of extra data on the moon and stuff. So
all right.
Have a look at it.
All right. Stan, I want to thank you so much. Look, I know that you've been through it, and I appreciate your gift of time. I really do. And thank you. Thank you. Thank Holly. And folks, support Stan and Holly Dale, Patreon, as well as go to standale.com. Order Cosmic Conspiracy, Dare to Prepare, Garden Gold, Prudent Places. It's all there. Thank you, Stan.
Thank you. All right. Lord bless you now.
Bye-bye. God bless. All right, folks. That'll do it for me. Yeah. For me, for us, for Eric and I do hope that you enjoyed the program tonight. I really do. Tomorrow, Pastor David Langford, 2 hours, one-on-one. Thursday, Dr. Michael Lake with Steve Quayle. That's right. And if I could talk him into it, Friday, Dr. Proctor for an hour, and Austin Brewer, I believe. That's the way the week is shaping up. May God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so much for your belief and trust in this platform. Good night.